So the theme for this year, every year we pick a theme. We pick a theme based on a passage of scripture in the Bible. And this year we picked things above from Colossians 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So as followers of Christ, we are secure in Him. We look forward to experiencing eternal blessings with Him where He is seated with His Father. And in the meantime, down below, we are exhorted to keep our minds focused future-wise and set our hearts above, which means, how do we do that? And, you know, how do we do both at the same time, right? Well, while we're down here, we're supposed to live a life with an eternal purpose and focus. And one of our favorite verses here is 1 Corinthians 10:31, which says, I should test you, but I won't. So whether we eat or drink, or help me, please, whatever we do, do all for the... Oh, yeah, that one, yeah, right? Yeah, good. Yeah, thanks a lot, yeah. Yeah, whatever we do, right? Whatever we do. I mean, eating and drinking is about as basic as it gets, right? So whatever we eat or drink or whatever do, right? In other words, what else do we do a lot in life? We parent, don't we? Do we ever stop parenting? Not really. Parenting has been around for a long time, hasn't it? Since Adam and Eve. Right? It's been around a long time. God told Adam and Eve to multiply and fill the world, and they started it all. And, you know, generally speaking, most parents in the world want to raise healthy, wise kids who will make some kind of an impact to others in their generation. But whether you're a Christian or not, you know, we will, most of us want to teach our kids some basic things. Proper manners, right? We want to teach them how to respect others, how to get along with others, all kinds of things we teach our children. Everyone has in common in teaching their children. But what do we do as believers? Like, how is our parenting different from a non-Christian who has, you know, no real view of God? How is ours different from theirs? What the big difference really is that parenting, Christian parenting, is disciple making. See, parenting is really discipling. I mean, did Jesus not, before he left, say, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Well, who better to make disciples than with those already in front of you? Your own children, our own children, right? So we get to mold and shape their life, you know, for at least 18 years, sometimes longer, sometimes too long, right? Hint, hint, if you're 36 and still at home, okay? All right? I don't know anyone who's here that's like that. I hope not. But anyway, we all have our reasons for those things, right? But anyway, and even then, you always have a part to play with your kids, right? No matter how old they are, right? You always have a role to play. And the funny thing is now when your kids have kids, they come back to you and they say, were we like that? Right? What did you do when? Right? They find their kids in those situations. So, you know, God enables us to have a part to play in their life for as long as we're here. So this morning, we want to look at scripture, a bunch of scriptures this morning, and we want to look at parenting from a things above perspective and see that parenting really is making disciples of Jesus. And that even though, you know, we do a lot of the same things that all parents do, we want to look at those things and see how they have a greater purpose when we help them see them from God's perspective. So let's pray before we look into God's word this morning. Father, thank you again for mothers. We were thanking you earlier for mothers and their impact in our life, for the ways in which they modeled Christ-likeness to us, for the ways in which they just loved us and served us and helped us function well in life. And we thank you for their ongoing impact and the impact of spiritual mothers as well, who have helped us understand you and your son more over the years. And so we thank you for that this morning. And Lord, we just want to look at your word and we want to see how do we raise children to be disciples of Jesus Christ? What is helpful for us in your word to in the everyday scheme of things, to see that actually what we're really doing is helping them understand you and your son more. And so give us wisdom and direction this morning as we look at this through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, one of the basic things I would say almost every parent does is they teach their children to say thank you, correct? Everyone teaches their kids to say thank you. But have you thought about why? Why do we do that? And especially as Christians, how can we teach them that thanks is actually pointing toward God? Well, we need to realize that every time we help our kids say to give thanks, we're actually indirectly teaching them to be dependent on God. It's really what we're doing. See, when do we impress upon our children or grandchildren the need to say thank you? When they've received something by grace. Because every time you give them something, it's basically something they didn't earn, right? Maybe you're giving them a food, maybe you're giving them a toy, maybe that's something they can just borrow for a while. Even if it is a meal or a snack, you know, we don't say, well, as soon as you are old enough to do this, then we'll feed you. No, you feed them, you give them these basics every day, and they come by grace. They didn't earn them. You just give that to them, and you ask them to respond by saying thank you. And we need to help them understand that, because we need to help them understand that that prayer is a way of saying is our way of saying thank you to God for all the things that He gives us by grace. Yeah, sure, you know, like you as a parent, you know, you made the food or you bought the food, right? But ultimately, even our resources and the intelligence that give us the jobs to be able to purchase resources, to be able to pass that along to our kids and our grandkids. I mean, ultimately, all those things are from God, aren't they? So as a Christian parent, we, you know, and at some point, as the kids get older, right, you'll end up explaining it all to them. Why do you go to work, Mom? Why do you go to work, Dad? Well, we go to work so that we can earn money and so that we can buy the food that you have and, you know, live in the house or wherever we, you know, you end up explaining that at some point. But we get the opportunity to say, but if it wasn't for God and if I didn't have these gifts, I couldn't do this job so that we could have this and that, right? So it's an opportunity to direct them to God to see that God is behind everything that they have and receive in life. So what they have on the table, what shows up in their toy box, right? All of it came by grace as a gift from someone. And ultimately, the life itself is a gift of grace, right? Where do I come from, Mom and Dad, right? You come from God. It's a gift of God, right? And you are. Every person is an individual, unique gift of God. So we say thanks because everything we have is by grace. Romans 11:36. For from him and through him and to him are most things. Amen? Some of you aren't even paying attention, right? Thank you. All things, right? From him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so we can model that in our own prayers, helping our kids understand everything we have. Do we thank God for the things that we have? And our kids hear that, right, from us? So that's another way in which we model that. Everything is by the grace of God. Everything we have in life comes by the grace of God. So getting our kids to say thank you helps them early on to understand everything ultimately you have comes from the Lord. Even difficult things. 1 Thessalonians 5, Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Is life always easy? No, it's not. Do kids understand that? Ultimately, yes, they will, because things don't always go as planned. Kids get hurt as well, and when they get hurt, how do we help them to trust God, to depend on God? Well, all kinds of ways. We read them the Bible. We read them stories from the Bible. We read them stories from the Bible about Joseph, right? Gets sold into slavery, right? Hardship. We read them Daniel in the lion's den. We read them Peter denying Jesus. We read them about the prophets, people having good people, God's people, having difficulties in life. It's all over Scripture, correct? So helping them understand that even early in life is great, because it points them to help them to, at an early age, to start to trust in God. They can pray too. They got a little problem, okay? Maybe it's just a little problem, but you help them. You help them to pray. Let's ask God about that. Let's ask God to help us find the solution to that problem. And when God resolves a situation, you point them to God. You say, see, God answered our prayer. He helped us figure that out. You know, or it worked out in a way you could never even imagine, and you get to say, see, we didn't know what God was doing in this, and look what God did. And so again, you're pointing the kids back to God, where everything comes from. Another common thing we do with our kids a lot, they would say more than we would say, but we say no a lot, right? We say no to them a lot. And so to say no, we say no to their wants. In doing that, it teaches them delayed gratification. It teaches them the principle, the biblical principle of blessings don't always come right away. And every child asks for things that they can't have, or can't have at the moment, or they can't have at all. And they're not always needs. Many times they are things that they want. We want a toy. We want something to eat. We want something to drink. We want to do this activity. We want to go somewhere, right? And maybe it's something that's a good thing they can have. They just can't have it at the moment. Or it's something that they don't need to have at all. Why do they ask for these things all the time? Because they only think about themselves. They're selfish. I know that just blew a bubble in someone's mind, all right? But they have a sin nature. And in case that's a real shock, I'll save that for later, okay? We'll come back to that. But children need to understand, as early as possible, that they just can't have everything they want, because it doesn't work in life that way. When you get older, either, does it? Doesn't work at any time in our life. We just never get what we want, which is very good for us, isn't it? And many times kids just want something a little bit more pleasant than what they're experiencing at the moment, you know, than the options in front of them, like dessert as opposed to veggies, right? Or, you know, they want a toy that seconds ago they didn't want, but because their sibling or friend grabbed it, all of a sudden they want it, right? And we have to help them understand, well, you have to wait. You have to wait. Of course, they don't want to, because they just want that thing at that moment at the time. But when you and I say no, and when you and I say no, there's usually this negative reaction, right? And it seems like it's awful. And it means for us to endure as well. But, you know, we can't give in. We mustn't give in, because they have to learn early on in life that you just can't have everything in life. And you have, sometimes we all have to endure lesser things before better things. So we have to help them understand that is a principle in life. And yes, maybe they have to eat a few more bites of their dinner before they can play with that toy. Or maybe, you know, you may not see that as suffering, all right? Although the reaction sometimes causes us to suffer, correct? But, you know, when we prepare them that life can be disappointing, even painful, that the blessings will come later. They could come even hours or minutes later, but they could come days or even years later. And when we say no to their wants, they need to understand this in Scripture. Look at 1 Peter 1 for a second, if you have your Bibles with you. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Peter writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." And so the blessings kept in heaven for us, right? All these future blessings, like we have to wait, we are still waiting to receive those. But this is why, because we know we have that as a believer in Jesus Christ. Peter is saying this is why we can endure now when difficulties arise, because the delayed gratification principle, right? We know it's there, we know it's coming, we just have to wait and trust God for it in the meantime. And that's a principle we need to help our kids, grandkids learn early in life, right? That there is blessings, but they can't always happen right here and right now. And whether it's eating a few more bites of their food to get dessert or ice cream, or doing a chore before they get to go and play, or finding a part-time job as they get older if they want to buy something for themselves, right? They need to learn that endurance comes before blessings, and that none of us are immune to hardship in life. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is all about trusting God by faith, right? In the present, while waiting for future, yet unseen blessings, which is what Hebrews 11 is all about. And I'll just read verses 13 to 16, kind of a summary. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, and they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. And there are many habits, there are many disciplines that help them learn about God's principles. But one of the blessings of being a follower of Jesus is we get to teach our kids at an early age the things of the Word of God, because we have that blessing. So you have, right, Bible story books, you have the Bible itself, right, taking the church, the Sunday school, youth group, kids club, all those things are all wonderful opportunities for them to hear as they grow up, you know, what does the Word of God say, so that they can have a Timothy experience as well, which we read earlier in the dedications. 2 Timothy 3:14, we know Timothy, he learned and became convinced of salvation because you know those from whom you learned it. And he said earlier, his mother Eunice and his grandma Lois, right? And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So when you and I have those opportunities to share the Word of God with our kids, with our grandkids, doesn't matter how old they are, we need to believe that fruit will come. That fruit will come from persistent sowing of the Word of God. A great passage in the Old Testament about this is found in Deuteronomy 6, where God tells Moses to tell the people to share the word of God. And so he says in Deuteronomy 6:6, he says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Right? In other words, in the routines of life, use those opportunities as when they arise to teach life-changing, God-glorifying instructions, you know, in your children's lives. And kids ask some great questions, don't they? They ask some great questions that are very deep, and they come out of the blue usually. And you know, whether you're at home, whether you're traveling, you see what Moses was saying, whether you're, you know, taking them to a lesson, whether you're shopping, whether you're on a hike, whether you're watching TV, like, be sensitive to those moments in life when sharing about God just comes up. Or maybe you're helping your child understand something, and it's an opportunity for them to understand what this looks like from God's perspective, or maybe there's something in the scriptures that relates to that. But the key that God tells Moses here, the key for parents and grandparents is these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. When they're on your heart, then you can share them as you're going out and about and doing all the things that in life that we do. So if we're not in the Word of God regularly, our minds aren't going to be ready to help them with teachable moments in life. And yes, the Spirit of God dwells in us, and He will prompt us to opportunities to share about God when those needs arise. But if I don't give Him something to work with, right? If I'm not in the Word of God, then he's not got nothing to grab in the hard drive there to bring to my attention. He says, because your hard drive is empty, and I can't just bring this out of nowhere. He says, it's got to be in there somewhere so that He can have something to work with. And maybe you're thinking, maybe you're beating yourself up right now, and please don't, okay? Or don't beat up the person beside you either, all right? And say, you know, I don't do this as often as I should. I know I don't, okay? And you're thinking, maybe you're thinking, well, you know, my kid's not getting it. My kid doesn't seem to be getting it. My kid doesn't seem to be understanding God or doesn't seem to want God. But you know what? Let's not forget that your child was created by God before you ever met him or her. He was forming him and her in the womb before you ever saw them. And it is the spiritual work of God to take the Word of God to change their lives. Paul says in Philippians 1 that he who began this good work in you will complete it to the day of Christ Jesus. And that goes for your kids as well. God's got a work. God's doing a work in there. Don't believe He's not. Just keep being faithful in sowing the Word of God, and fruit will eventually come. Jesus taught this, right, in the parable of the soils, Matthew 13. He explained the parable of the soils. Verse 18, listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes, snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on the rocky places, the one who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the one who hears the word, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who receives the seed that fell on good soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, and he produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what is sown. See, Paul echoed this in Galatians 6:9. He says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Right? Reaping and sowing doesn't happen in the same season, does it? And there's one more practice. I mean, there's a lot. We'll talk about one more, all right, that we need to see through the eyes of God. And that is that we need to be consistent in discipline so they understand that their biggest problem in life is, drum roll please, themselves. What's your biggest problem in life? Don't look beside you, all right? Look in the mirror, okay? All right? I know it's a shocker for some of you, okay? Our kids' biggest problem in life is themselves, right? They need to understand that. They misbehave. They don't listen. They take things that don't belong to them. They get upset when they don't get their way. They hurt others, right? And so, at times, we need to discipline them, whatever that looks like for you, okay? Because they have unacceptable behavior. And then we all respond to different forms of discipline, whatever that looks like. Even the Bible addresses this. Familiar verse, Proverbs 22:6. Train a child in the way he, she should go, and when he or she is old, they will not return from it. But the interesting phrase is the way he or she should go, according to their bent, is what it means. Because every child is different, correct? Every person is different, and we all respond to different rewards and different disciplines. Every person is unique. God made us different. He made us special. He made us unique. We don't have to reinvent that, right? We live in a world right now that's happening a lot. If only we could help them understand that they're already unique. They're already special, exactly the way God created them to be. But everyone is like that. And each child needs to understand, we need to understand how to help that child, according to the way God made them, respond to the times when we need to correct their behavior. And to help them understand that in time, they have a sin nature. They have a sin nature. And that sin nature is why they always want to be first or have their own way. And they need to learn at an early age, as early as possible, that all of us sin and fall short of the glory of God, and that our misbehavior comes from our sinful bent that wants to be our own God. We want to be in control of our life, make our own choices, have everything our way. That's called sin. That's called having a sin nature. And yet in His grace, we get to share with them that God in His grace knows that we can't fix this on our own. He sent Jesus to die in our place for our sins, and we need to respond and confess, no matter how old we are, that we are sinners in need of the grace of God through Jesus. Paul explains this very well in Ephesians chapter 2. If you still have your Bibles open, we'll kind of finish with this. Ephesians 2, Paul says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the rule of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." So whether we're 2 or 102, right, without Jesus' intervention in our lives, this is who we will remain. But Paul's not done. Verse 4, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace ye have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Like, none of us can say, "I did it," right? Only faith in Jesus Christ saves us. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God created, prepared in advance for us to do." And this is the great part about helping our kids learn about Jesus. God loves them. God loves them so much and too much to leave them without a way that they can change from their selfish ways. And so he sent Jesus to die for their sins. He sent Jesus, obviously, to die for all of our sins, died in our place so that they and we can find eternal life by asking Jesus to forgive them of their sins. And eternal life is something we have now, right? It's not just something we wait for. It's actually something we get now. And that this new life, this eternal life, means we live for him now while we wait, as we read earlier in Colossians 3, until we can receive those delayed gratification blessings that are in store for us. Parenting is hard work. It is, right? And Christian parenting is even harder because you're trying to help your child come to know God and follow Jesus, because this is the most important thing in life to figure out before they die. And thankfully, God specializes in this, doesn't he? He takes our persistence and our patience and our seed sowing of his word and his principles, and he works in their life. Thank you, Lord, that it's not all up to us. Amen? Amen? It's up to him to do the work. Again, reaping and sowing don't always happen in the same season. But here's just two passages I want to leave with you in case you get discouraged, and we all do at different times. Remember this, Isaiah 55, verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. See, when you and I share the word of God, we are doing an eternal work. It's not just good advice. It's the very words of God. And God takes his word and he works in people's lives, young and old. So when you say, I'm not seeing any results, you say, Isaiah 55 says, hang in there, right? God will take his word and he'll do something with it. And the other verse I want to leave you with this morning is 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. See, parenting, okay, is the Lord's work. And when we do that for him, it is the greatest work we can do. So hang in there. Don't kill him this week, okay? Right? Trust the Lord. Trust his word. Parenting, discipling is not in vain. Let's pray. Father, we who are older and we're in the grandparenting stage, we can look back and sometimes we chuckle, you know, at what's transpiring in our own kids' lives with our own kids, you know, because it's the same all the time. It's always the same. And Lord, we thank you for helping us get through those days. And we pray for those who are in those days to trust you to help them get through those days. But man, they go fast. They really do. And the next thing you know, they're off to college, university, wherever, work, life, have kids of their own. And you're reaping the benefit of the hard work that you sowed. And you're seeing results. And you're praising God for that, not because we were that special, only because we were persistent and faithful. And Lord, when we look back at our own parents, we realize, right, that's what they did well. They were persistent. They stood with us. They said no to us when we needed to say no. They corrected us when we needed correction. But when they knew Jesus, this is why they were doing it. And so when we do these things, Lord, when we do it for you, this is why we really are really doing it, because we want to help them not just be good kids and good adults one day. We want them to have eternal life and make a difference for their kids and the next generation, so that 4 or 5 generations from now, they can say in a church service, man, you know, if it wasn't for my great-great-grandma or grandpa, right, sharing the Word of God, I don't know where I'd be today. So, Lord, thank you for those testimonies. Thank you for your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Invite you to stand again if you're able. This might be a new song for some of you. It's just called I Speak Jesus.